Welcome to the Israel Daily News Podcast. I'm your host, Shanna Fold, and I'm here to get you caught up quickly. I've got some top news stories for you today from Israel, and guess what? You're listening, so you're already on top of your game. Survive and thrive, people. Knowledge is the best weapon. Today is Tuesday, March 5th, 2024 in the Gregorian calendar, and the 25th of Adar, 5784 in the Hebrew calendar. Tomorrow on Wednesday, the Israel Daily News is having its first ever live in-person event. We are going to broadcast the news. We are going to have the panel on Israeli leadership and the future of Israel. I'm having two young ambassadors along with some politicians to join our panel. And we're also going to be live streaming the entire event on YouTube and on Instagram. And we're going to be producing it as a podcast later on in the week. We're very excited about this first live event with a live studio audience to watch. If you are in Tel Aviv and you're interested in coming to a live taping of the Israel Daily News podcast, please do get in touch and I will let you know where to meet us. Now, let's get to the news. Here's a bit for you on the situation in Israel's north. Anti-tank missiles hit foreign workers near Margaliot in the north of Israel on Monday. This injured 8 Indian workers and killed 1. The tragedy happened when an anti-tank missile hit their vehicle near the border with Lebanon. The workers were employed by a contractor for the Ministry of Defense and were on their way to a construction site when this happened. Emergency services, MDA or MADA, and Air Force helicopters transported the injured people to hospitals in the area. The Indian worker was identified today as Patnibin Maxwell. He was killed by Hezbollah. He is survived by a wife who is 7 months pregnant and a 5-year-old daughter. On Tuesday, so that's today, the Indian Embassy in Tel Aviv issued a crucial advisory urging Indian nationals to exercise caution and avoid border areas in Israel. The important advisory specifically called on those residing in or visiting border regions in the north and south of Israel to relocate to safer areas within the country. This is an issue because these workers are often farmhands and taking up many roles in Israel in order to replace Palestinian workers who used to have these roles before October 7th when war broke out and are now not entering and not allowed to enter Israel or work in Israel. So this is an issue because we're cycling through here in Israel, different countries that are sending workers to Israel. It's usually a good situation because these workers are able to send money home to their families. But as this war intensifies, more and more populations of foreigners are getting targeted and attacked by Hezbollah and Hamas on the north and in the south. There are reports of big billowing black smoke clouds in the north of Israel. Our sources say Hezbollah claims it targeted an IDF base near the border in the town of Zarait. The Israel Defense Forces say that one rocket was fired. No word on damage or injuries at the time of this report. Last night, however, 10 rockets were fired from Lebanon toward Rosh Pina, Shlomi, and a majority of towns in that northern area of Israel. Rockets caused damage to some electrical infrastructure, leading to temporary outages in Nahariya, which is also in the north of Israel, but it's closer to the sea, whereas Rosh Pina and Shlomi are a little more inland. No other substantial damage was caused, and no injuries have been reported either. Reuters reports that negotiations between Israel and Hamas over a long-term ceasefire and prisoner exchange have collapsed. Hamas accuses Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu of not wanting an agreement. Egyptian sources are not fully confirming these claims and say that negotiations are carrying on, though they are very difficult. It's our understanding that the main reason is that Hamas refuses to provide a list of the remaining living hostages. This is just one of the issues, among many, for why talks are currently deteriorating. Political officials have also raised alarms over Yahya Sinwar's calculated moves to incite conflict aiming to draw Israel into a situation that would spark global criticism during this sensitive period. Reports say Hamas and other organizations like Hezbollah are gearing up for a campaign of terror throughout Ramadan, with the potential for attacks on multiple Israeli fronts. The IDF announced the death of a soldier killed in southern Gaza earlier this week, bringing the military death toll to 246 in terms of ground invasion losses on the Israeli side. The soldier was identified as 33-year-old reservist Sergeant Major Denis Yekimov from Beersheva. May his family and community find comfort. The Shia militias in Iraq, known as the Popular Mobilization Forces, or the PMF, claimed responsibility for an attack on a chemical materials station in the port of Haifa, a city in central Israel. It was reportedly carried out via drone on Friday evening. The PMF said that the attack was in retaliation for Israeli strikes on their positions in Iraq and Syria. The IDF did not confirm or deny the attack, but said it was aware of the reports and was investigating the incident. No injuries or damage were reported. Those news bites you just heard were powered by our partner, Bernie News Network, or BNN. For fast and precise updates, you can join BNN on WhatsApp and Telegram by going over to their website, bernie.news. Saturday, an Israeli man was stabbed by a Palestinian in the West Bank. The 57-year-old victim entered Dahariya, a town at the southern tip of the West Bank. He went there to visit a doctor. He was accompanied by two Israeli Arabs. That's when he was stabbed by a 20-year-old Palestinian, reportedly after finding out that the man was Jewish. The Israeli Defense Force says that they have arrested the suspected terrorist and sent him to the Shin Bet security forces for questioning. The victim was driven by Magen David Adom, or MDA, Mada, to Meitar Crossing, where he was treated for stab wounds. An MDA paramedic says that they were able to give the man life-saving treatment, and now he is in stable condition. He's currently recovering in the Soroka Medical Center in Beersheva. The Knesset Health Committee had a meeting where relatives of hostages held by Hamas and other terrorist groups in Gaza shared their distress over the lack of adequate support for their physical and mental health needs. The family said that current government and military efforts to get them home are disorganized and insufficient. Testimonies revealed severe health declines, both physically and mentally, among the relatives, with issues like weight loss, missed medical appointments, and sleep problems. Survey data shows that 80% of family members of hostages report declining health, with 96% experiencing a downturn in mental health. Many expressed frustration with the reactive approach of the government and emphasized the need for a permanent national administration to address the ongoing needs of the family members of hostages. Despite some efforts by the government to provide support, like assigning liaison officers to families, many relatives say that they feel neglected, they feel overwhelmed. We have interviewed people on this show, I've written about it. A lot of people are saying that the government has not done enough to let them know that they are cared for here in Israel. A recent United Nations report presents evidence of rape and sexual abuse during the October 7th Hamas attack on southern Israel, as well as ongoing abuse against hostages in Gaza. Israel accused the UN of downplaying the issue and criticized the delay in investigating the allegations. UN envoy Pramila Patton confirmed instances of sexual violence, including rape and torture, based on extensive evidence gathering and testimonies. Israeli officials condemned the UN's silence on Hamas's atrocities and called for action against the terrorist group. The delayed response from international women's groups after October 7th sparked outrage, with accusations of anti-Semitism and demands for accountability. Thursday, a deadly stampede broke out in Gaza City around an aid convoy, killing 118 Palestinians, according to Hamas. Following this, Israel is trying new methods to deliver aid to northern Gaza this week. Many options have been presented. One is ensuring convoys are secured by Israeli soldiers instead of local guards. Another is having aid trucks enter from the northern border of Israel to prevent driving through the active war zone in Gaza's south. Thursday's events are still being investigated, as Israeli troops were accused of shooting at the crowd of Gazan civilians. Israeli Defense Force spokesman Daniel Hagari says, quote, "This was a humanitarian operation we conducted, and the claim that we intentionally struck the convoy and intentionally harmed people is baseless," end quote. According to the UN, 2.3 million Gazans are facing starvation. That's the whole population. Israel plans to deliver more humanitarian aid in the weeks to come. War Cabinet Minister Benny Gantz traveled to Washington, D.C. on Sunday to meet with U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, and multiple members of U.S. Congress. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu reportedly did not authorize the visit and is now reprimanding Gantz for planning it behind his back. Ynet writes that two government officials had a very tense phone call on Friday, but that by Saturday, Gantz's office was able to confirm the trip. Gantz is the former military chief and defense minister, and also Netanyahu's main political rival. He is part of the National Unity Party, which has advocated the legitimacy of military operations in Gaza, promoted security arrangements in Gaza, and has made great efforts in reaching a ceasefire deal for the release of hostages. Gantz's goal for this visit is to strengthen the relationship between Israel and the U.S. amidst this ongoing war. I want to thank all of you for your interest in Israeli affairs, Israeli politics, our world politics. I also want to thank all of you who personally finance and fund the Israel Daily News podcast with monthly contributions. You can support us with monthly contributions by going over to anchor.fm/Israel Daily News. You can contribute whatever feels good for you. To make a one-time contribution to fund our special wartime coverage, which we take very seriously, you can just type in my name, Shanna Fold, with two N's, and GoFundMe into Google and find it right away. In response for your contributions, I'll send over a handwritten thank you note to show my appreciation. You can also support us by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts. 2, you can share the show with a friend. And 3, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at IsraelDaily.news, as well as Shanna Fold. My name has two N's in it, and I'm very sensitive about that. You can also find us on Twitter at Israel Podcast. Wednesday, we are hosting our first ever Israel Daily News live event with a live studio audience in Tel Aviv. I'm going to give over the news of the day. Then I have remarks from former ambassador to the United States, Ido Aharoni, and then host a leadership panel about the future of Israel and the young leaders who are going to take over. I want to find out from current politicians and leaders what needs to be done to clear pathways for young people. And we're also going to be hearing about the challenges for them as they make their way through. We're having two young ambassadors, young teen leaders, come to join our panel as well. The event is going to end with a live musical performance by Nicole Raviv and a DJ set from DJ Erica Krall. If you're in Tel Aviv and you're a fan of the podcast and you'd like to attend our live studio showing, please reach out for an invitation. You can send me an email at shannafold@gmail.com. The IDF has appointed its first female commander to lead an Israeli Air Force base. Lieutenant Colonel Gimmel has been selected by IDF Chief of Staff Lieutenant General Herzi Halevi to take the helm at the Ovda Air Base. Gimel is essentially the letter G in Hebrew. That's the best comparison I can make. And it's, of course, a code name to hide her identity. Her promotion to the rank of colonel marks a significant milestone for gender equality and representation within the Israeli military. With an impressive career spanning back to 2003, Lieutenant Colonel Gimel began her journey in the Air Force as a transport aircraft pilot. Israeli archaeologists have discovered a rare stone box from the Second Temple period. The artifact, found during excavations in the City of David, is now on display at the Israel Museum in Jerusalem. The 2,000-year-old box is 30 by 30 centimeters and is divided into 9 equally sized compartments and made out of soft limestone. It was found within an ancient store near the pilgrimage road of the ancient kingdom. Researchers from the Israel Antiquities Authority say the box was used for commercial purposes, like showing off goods. Previous excavations say that the area was once a flourishing urban market. Experts also agree that the economic systems of Second Temple Jerusalem were similar to those of large cities in Rome. That's pretty cool. What makes Second Temple Jerusalem archaeology so unique is evidence of adherence to Jewish purity laws. Jewish law says stone cannot become impure and therefore can be reused over and over. That's why many artifacts made of limestone from this time period have been found in this area. A similar stone box was discovered 50 years ago during excavations in the Jewish quarter of the Old City. And we have a picture of that for you on our new website, which we are going to unveil tomorrow, as well as on our Instagram and Facebook. So if you want to see a picture of the archaeological findings of this rare stone box from the Second Temple period, you can do so on the web. All right. Well, that is it for today's show. Today is Tuesday, March 5th, 2024. Tel Aviv has a low of 12 degrees Celsius and a high of 20 degrees. That's 52 degrees Fahrenheit for the low, going up to 66 degrees for the high. Subscribe to the Israel Daily News Podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you're hearing it from. We are everywhere. Don't forget to sign up to our Israel Weekly News Wrap. The Israel Weekly News Wrap is a newsletter with the top five stories coming out of Israel from throughout the week, and of course, with a personal note from me at the top. You can sign up for that at IsraelDailyNews.org. A big thank you goes out to our social media director, Michelle Milner. I'll send you off with a song called Daleko by Erica Krall. Have a great and productive day.
Очень далеко, где рычаг течет вино, где живут все, как кино ждут.